Good morning. Today's daf in the Darm Nun Aleph. We're on Nun Amud Beis. We're starting at Torah Zabam the Amud. I'm just going to go back and back up to Rebbe's wealth and Rebbe making a chasna for his son. And we're going to learn a little bit about some of the definitions of the words in the Torah. And but for the first part of today's daf, a continuation of Agarata that we discussed yesterday. We spoke yesterday about Rebbe Akiva. Begs the question, why yesterday did we talk about Rebbe Akiva? I'm not sure, but obviously it was great. It was fantastic, right? For the second time in Shas, we basically got treated to the story about Rebbe Akiva and him going on to learning and becoming not just a Talmid Chacham, but Baal HaMesorah, part of the tradition, part of the transition of Torah Shabbat Peh from Sinai all the way to where we are right now, and him being not just a significant link in the chain, but Mamish, the Baal HaMesorah, right, where his Talmidim really passed on the Torah Shabbat Peh. So that was, the roots of the story are found in yesterday's daf, and that was Nedarim daf Nun. While we were discussing Rebbe Akiva, we talked about his wealth. Rebbe Akiva ended up becoming an extraordinarily wealthy man in his early years, so he had no money whatsoever. In fact, him and his wife were sleeping on straw, right? He was picking out of her hair, she was picking the straw out of his hair, and they mamish had nothing. He promised her jewelry. He said, if we ever get money, I'm going to give you jewelry. The Gemara never tells us that he delivered on his promise, but I think it's safe to assume that he did. But Rebbe Akiva ended up becoming wealthy. How many revenue streams did Rebbe Akiva have in terms of wealth? So if you remember yesterday's daf, six revenue streams in total. So six different ways that Rebbe Akiva had sources of revenue. Some of it came through wealthy father-in-laws. Some of it came through discoveries and findings. Or whatever the case is, in other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu blessed him with tremendous wealth. Who else was wealthy? So the answer, of course, is Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi described elsewhere in Shas as being one of the wealthiest people in the history. And so what we're going to be describing and discussing in the first half of today's daf is a little bit regarding Rebbe, not so much his wealth, although that becomes that plays into the discussion, but just a little bit more in terms of the Rebbe and his interaction with people and his general disposition. Okay, I would elect to guess that Rebbe was an extraordinarily happy individual, super successful and accomplished, and it goes without saying that he was happy. But we're going to learn a little bit about his general disposition and how he generally liked to comport and compose himself. Okay, that's all coming up in today's daf. Rebbe Avad Lehilula. So we're going to just back up a little bit. We're in the Gemara Nun Amud Beis, and we are about eight lines from the bottom, approximately. There's a period over there. So Rebbe Avad Lehilula, Rebbe Shimon Barebbe. So Rebbe made a chasna for his son. Okay. Sounds like the father of the chasna is paying for it. And I'm not sure if it's such a wonderful raya. In other words, Rebbe happened to be fantastically wealthy. So, in other words, I'm sure it wasn't even going to be an option. Anyway, so chasav al beganan esrim arbe alfen ribon dinarin. So it was 24,000 times 10,000. Okay, what's the math?
$240 million.
Okay, good. All right, fine. Anyway, whatever. Lots of zeros, and in other words, so he spent a lot of money on the chasna. Okay, good. The numbers are not going to mean anything to us anyway. So the anyway, it's a lot of money. So, right? No, not at all. Not at all. Esther Varbanaf and Reborn Dinarin. Okay, good. So Nafka Abbas Ganana Dane. So that's how much he spent on the Chasna. Velo Azamne La Bar Kapar. Now he didn't invite Bar Kapara. Now his not inviting Bar Kapara will become clarified in just a moment in terms of why that was the case. Bar Kapara and him had a wonderfully close relationship, but he didn't want Bar Kapara at the Chasna. That's weird, but that's going to be better understood in just a couple minutes from now. It's fine. No Amud Beis. Towards the bottom of the Amud. Right now, four or five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Amar le, im lo ver ritzono kach, lo ser ritzono alachas kama v'kama. So Bar Kapar says to Rebbe, I don't understand. Im ovre ritzono kach, meaning if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be giving good for people who are over ritzono, we see people who are not totally compliant, and meanwhile, Kadosh Baruch Hu provides for them. So al osei ritzon alachas kama v'kama, Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia, Kadosh Baruch Hu does good for people who are fulfilling his will, and Bar Kapar says to Rebbe, you're clearly fulfilling the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu has given you all this, and meanwhile, you're not going to invite me? So azmane. So basically, he got an invitation to the wedding. So Amar lo, so it's on a bolam azek kach lo olam haba al achas kama v'kama. And so basically, what he did is he gave him a bracha. Okay, good. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu should reward you in this world, which clearly he's doing already, and also an olam haba in the world to come as well. Good. So Bar Kapara got a invitation to the wedding of Rebbe for his son. And why didn't Rebbe want to invite him in the first place? Again, it'll all become clear in just a moment. Now, the Gemara tells us the following, and it's rather a striking comment of the Gemara. The day that Rebbe would smile, either smile or laugh, so Parnassa would come to the world would suffer calamity if Rebbe, in fact, would smile. In other words, Rebbe tried to keep a generally serious disposition. So he didn't want to come off at any point in time as silly or I don't want to use the word joyful, because again, I'm sure as a general disposition, I'm sure he was extraordinarily happy. But in other words, he never wanted to came off as taking himself anything less than being a very serious human being. Right, but it's right, but with that ayin is important, by the way. There's an ayin there. So Asya Purnasala Olam Amr Le Blabar Kapar Lotavadchin. So Viavina Lech Arba Gavir Chite. So now Rebbe now knows what's gonna happen. In other words, the real challenge is gonna happen. Bar Kapar was a Badchan. Bar Kapar had a fantastic sense of humor, and Bar Kapar was able to make everybody laugh. And what's going to happen now is that Bar Kapar is going to come to the wedding and he's going to be silly and Rebbe's going to laugh and Rebbe doesn't want to do that. Ah, okay. Now we understand. Okay. So the dynamics now of the relationship between the two of them is that, Rebbe doesn't want to laugh and Bar Kapar is going to do that. And so he says to Bar Kapar, look, do me a favor. Okay. In other words, don't be silly and don't make me laugh. And I'll give you, he promised him. Arba gevir echite. So he says, I'm going to give you 40 measures of wheat, just if you don't make me laugh. So Amar lech zemar. So now Bar Kapara says to Rebbe, and exactly as we would suspect, meaning what is this silly person going to do? Silly person is going to do what he's supposed to do. What's the batchan going to do? A batchan's a batchan. So a batchan is going to batchan. So that's exactly what Bar Kapara does. He starts getting silly. So the chol gevir debi nishakine. So as we're now on the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, so he says, "Look, I'm going to take a measure. I'll take whatever measure I want." And shakal dikula rabba, and he took this huge basket and chafi kofrani, and he put pitch on it so that when the wheat goes into the basket, nothing's going to fall through. Vesavchi areshi, and he turns it upside down. And azal amar le lechalimar arben geriv echita derashinabach. And now with the upside down basket, he presents it in front of Rebbe. He says, okay, fill her up. But of course, the basket's upside down. Okay, and it's physical comedy. And, you know, it's hard for me to try to communicate to you how funny it was. But if Bar Kapar is a funny person, so then physical comedy comes across, I'm sure, pretty clearly. Okay, good. So, I'm not going to make the mistake of comparing him to some of the comedic greats in terms of physical comedy. But anyway, good. So he was silly. And right, the Azal Amrle, I read this. Lechalimar, I bring Gervichita Dereshinabach. So Achach Rebbe. So of course now Bar Kapar is funny, and Rebbe now is laughing. So Amrle Lava Zartach Delot Tebatchan. So and Rebbe says to Bar Kapar, I asked you not to do this. I asked you not to make me laugh. And meanwhile, here we are, and you're being your comedic self. And right, didn't we talk about this? So Amrle Chita Dereshinach Kanasivna. So he says, no, I'm not collecting for that. I'm collecting for a different obligation. In other words, enachinami, meaning if I didn't make you laugh, you would have owed me this time. But I made you laugh. I'm collecting for another occasion. I don't know what other occasion he's making reference to over here. Whatever the case is, you can understand, by the way. All this was done for the purposes of making Rebbe smile and laugh. And so if Bar Kapar is being silly, I guess that's kind of the point. So I'm a Bar Kapar lebar to the Rebbe lamachar. So now, Bar Kapar says to the daughter, Rebbe, you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Shasina chamra, berikuda davucha, uve kirkuna diimech. So what's going to happen tomorrow is that we're going to drink wine, and I'm going to have your father dancing, and I'm going to have your mother singing. Okay. Now I say singing, by the way. That's what the Ran says. The Ran says that he's going to have her mother singing. Okay, now, all this seems a little bit strange. Dad dancing at the chasna, that's pretty normal. Mom singing at the chasna, I guess that's also normal, but in front of Bar Kapara, that's definitely not normal. Okay, in other words, right, good, okay. So, but anyway, that's what he's promising. So in other words, Bar Kapara says, you think I'm silly now, so you just wait. In other words, tomorrow at the chasna, it's going to be a real party. So Ben Alasa Chasei the Rebbe Hava Vasher Gadohava Zamna Lebehilu the Rebbe Shimon Rebbe, and just to set up the story a little bit more, just a little more setup over here, and that is that we have Ben Alasa. Ben Alasa is a son-in-law to Rebbe, and he himself was also very wealthy. Okay, in other words, a lot of wealthy people. Okay, so now obviously it's very exciting. Get to hang around with a lot of wealthy people over here. So and by the way, I'm sure you made the same observation I did in life. And that is that when it comes to marriages, money finds money. Okay, it happens. So you have now the son-in-law of Rebbe, who himself is a very wealthy person, and he's now going to this to the same chasna as well. Okay, so Amrle Bar Kapara le Rebbe. Now put that just for a moment on the back burner, meaning obviously he's going to come into play in just a moment. But meanwhile now, so we're here at the wedding of Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, who's marrying off his son Rebbe Shimon. Bar Kapara was invited. Admittedly, at first he wasn't invited, but now he's got an invitation. And now here's the conversation going on at the wedding. And admittedly, a bit of a strange conversation. So Amalei Bar Kapara Rebbe, my to'eva. So now Bar Kapara asked Rebbe, "Nu, what's the word? What does the word to'eva mean?" You're going to find the word to'eva a couple times in the Torah. You open up any translation on the Chumash, you're going to see the words like abomination. No, okay, good. But in other words, but obviously over here, what Bar Kapara is not asking Rebbe is for English translation, because, right, that's, in other words, they're looking for etymology. You see the word to'eva. What does the actual word itself mean? What is the root of the word to'eva? Most prominently, where is the word to be found? By Mishkav Zachor. So if you look at it in Chumash and Parsha, Mishkav Zachor, so you're going to see the word to'eva over there. That's Perek, it's two Prakim in Chumash. It's one, but both in Vayikra. One's Yud Ches and the other one's Chaf. So over here, if you look in Chaf, you open up to Chaf, you're going to see the word To'eva described regarding Mishkav Zachar. So called Amalei Rabbi Da'achini To'eva Parcha Bar Kapara. So Rabbi tried to give a pshat, and with every pshat that Rabbi gave, Bar Kapara rejected the pshat. Okay, so aside from Reb Bar Kapara being a badchan, being a bit of a joker, he also was Tam Chacham. And that part's not surprising, meaning obviously. So the Parshat. So okay, so now after Bar Kapara has rejected every pshat that Rebbe offers, so Rebbe says to Bar Kapara, "Nu, let's hear a pshat from you." So Amrlei Tasi de Vizcha Vitarmile Natla. So he says, "Okay, so here's what you'll do. In other words, before you want to hear my pshat, so you got to earn it. So I'll tell you my pshat, but." Bring your wife, have her pour us a drink, and us, and she comes, and Ramule, and she pours a drink for the two of them. Amrle l'Rebbe, kum rekodli, de'emalach. And now he says to Rebbe, now you want to hear, you want to hear my pshat? Or first you got to dance. In other words, good. So your wife gave us drink, that's good. Now you're going to dance in order for me to say my pshat. Right, right. Sing for your, sing for your dinner over here. Dance for my pshat. So hachi amar achmana to'eva to'a taba. So the and now Bar Kapara's pshat is to'eva. So to'e ataba, meaning what you should have done is that you should have gone after a woman, and instead of going after a woman, so you went for an alternate. So to'e ataba, right? You went off her path. Okay, that's the pshat that was offered by Kapara. Now lekasa achrina. Now they're up to the next cup of wine. So Amrle my tevel. So Bar Kapara says to Rebbe, "Nu, let's hear a pshat. What does the word tevel mean?" So once again, open up this the same general area in Chumash. Right, this is now going to be Perek Yud Ches. You're going to see the word tevel. So the word tevel is used in association with a woman who is committing an act of bestiality. Okay, and the lashon haTorah over there is tevel hu. And once again, it's a strange word. Right, in the Parsha of Arayos, right, my observation is not going to be original, as most of what I'm observing is coming from our Gemara right here in today's daf. So in the Parsha of Arayos, you're going to find a couple of very curious, unusual words that are used to describe it. So, right, to'eva, we just went over. Tevel, we're doing right now. And we're going to see one more, And I'll add one more also, by the way, that the that our Gemara doesn't comment on, but a couple of strange words used in the Parsha of Arayas. So over here in describing bestiality, the Torah says the word tevel. So Amar Leh, ki inyana kadma'a. So Bar Kapar says to Rebbe, well, you know the drill, meaning you want to hear my pshat? Okay, so let's pour a cup of wine, let's dance a little bit, and then I'll tell you my pshat. So Amar Leh, and you wondered, by the way, at the beginning of today's daf, why didn't Rebbe want Bar Kapara to come to the chasna? I think at this point in time, we kind of know. So Amar Leh, so evenly. So Bar Kapara says again, same thing. Do the same thing again. So the Amar Lach, I'm sorry, the Amar Lach. And then once we go through the same thing, then I'll tell you. So Avad Amar Leh Tevel Hu. So Tavlin Yeshba. So the word tevel comes from the word tavlin. Tavlin are spices. And basically, it's a rhetorical question. Meaning, is there any spice over there? Meaning, right, either the man or the woman that's engaged in bestiality obviously wants to enjoy the benefit, the hana'ah of having relations. But in other words, but instead of having it with a person, with a human being, which would be just as hana'ah, if not more, so they instead have it with an animal. And basically, it's a rhetorical question of, is there anything special about it, right? Is there any spice involved in that? In other words, and obviously, it's a rhetorical question where the answer, of course, is no. And so then why would you be doing it? So, mi shanya hadabia. Does that bia give you any extra enjoyment? So, min kula bios more than any other bios. Okay. So now we have seen what the pshat is in the word tevel. So my zima. So now we're going to go round number three. So of drinks and saying pshat and psukim in the Torah, and yes, by the way, in other words, I have not missed the irony that this is the conversation that's taking place at a chasna. Okay, in other words, right? It's funny chasna conversation. So umay zima. So once again, now we have another word used in the parsha of Arayos. The word is zima. Now, this word zima is used as it relates to a man having relations with both a mother and her daughter, right? Zima. So Amar Leh Ivi Kinyana Kadma. So, okay, good. Let's go. Let's go through the same thing we went before. So, Avad Amar Leh Mahi. So, Zo Mahi. So, again, the Gemara just basically says, and you know what happened. Rabbi was trying to say a pshat. Bar Kapara rejected it. Bar Kapara said, let's have a drink. Have your wife pour us a drink. And then he says to Rebbe, you're going to dance, and that's exactly what he does. And now that we're here, so what's the pshat? Zumahi. In other words, when you point to the child of what you think is its mother, well, you know who the mother is, but now you don't know who the father is because the father has been sleeping with multiple women. So now who's the father? Zumahi. That's exactly the point. We're confused. We don't know who the father is. Okay. At this point in time now at the chasna, so if you're a casual observer of this scene, so it's funny. It's funny. It's entertaining. What if you happen to be one of Rebbe's other son-in-laws? You know, the one we were introduced to at the beginning of the story, Ben Alassa. So what was his reaction to it? Not amused. So lo yachal Ben Alassa lemezbel. So at that point in time, Ben Alassa, who we put there at the chasna watching now his father-in-law and his mother-in-law, And Bar Kapara, and it looks like the strangest of scenes that he could imagine. And Kama Nafaku Vintete Mitaman, and so they were so put off by the scene that they just simply exited. They left the chasna, and that is the story.
What is the moral? I mean, what's the point of
story? Right. Phil asks the question. He says, "And what was the point of that story?" So, first of all, we got pshat in three words in the Torah. That already is something, and just general hashkafas of how to live and how to take yourself seriously, and not to get overly silly. Although Bar Kapara clearly thinks that it was okay to do so. Okay, so when all said and done, Phil, your question is going to be better than my answer. Okay, but. Okay. Oh, I did want to. I wanted to throw in my 2 cents, whatever it's worth. Meaning, there's another word that's used in the parsha of Toev, in the parsha of Arayos, that I also think is very strange. Meaning, we covered so far three terms used in Arayos. We covered the terms of Toeva, Tevel, and Zima, which are strange, unusual terms. And go check it out. Where in Chumash are you going to find these terms used elsewhere? Happens to be by Toeva. I could think of a couple of other places in Chumash where it's used, but Tevel and Zima, I think this is it. And I'd like to also add that when the Torah describes the Arayos of a brother with his sister, so you know how the Torah describes that? Chesed. Chesed who? Which is really strange and unusual. Take a look at Rashi over there on Chumash, where he offers a couple of pshatim over there. Anyway. We're going to go back to the Gemara. We're going to finish up today's daf. So, my Ben Alasa. Now, we did say that Ben Alasa himself was very wealthy, and the Gemara wants to know, can you speak a little bit more on that topic? So, Detanya, la lechina, pisa Ben Alasa, es ma'osav, la laharos, behen, tesprosha, kohen gadol. So, when it came to personal grooming, so Ben Alasa got an unbelievable haircut. The haircut of the kohen gadol. The Gemara turns to a pasuk in Yecheskel. Yecheskel was a Kohen living in Chutzaretz, and a number of occasions he spoke out what the Kohen would be doing vis-a-vis Avoda, vis-a-vis Beis Hamikdash, and so over here he's describing the Kohen, and that is Kisom Yichsimu Esra Shehem. So what does that mean, Kisom Yichsimu? So Tana Kein Lu Lainis. So the haircut looks like lulainis. You know, obviously demanding the next follow-up question. My lulainis, I'm Rav Yehuda Taspera Yechidasa. Very unusual haircut. Unique. Hey, chidami amarava roshel shel zeh betzadikara roshel zeh. V'ayna taspera shel kohen gadol. So the end of one hair is going to be hitting the root of the next hair over. Okay? What seems to be a very short haircut, and the kohen gadol would be getting such a haircut. Obviously it required an expert barber. And so it cost a lot of money. The Kohen Gadol would be getting such a haircut, and so would Ben Alasa. And he felt that that was the kind of haircut that he needs to be getting. Why did Ben Alasa get that kind of haircut? Was he himself a Kohen? I don't know. I'm unsure. Okay, and just wrapping up right now, we are finishing up the Mishnah that we started just a couple days ago. Okay, the parak, the sixth parak, started just 2 days ago. If you're counting today, 3 days ago. And the Mishnah on the top of on the top of Mem Tesem and Aleph talked about the various definitions of terms that are used. So if I say mevushel, so that I'm allowed to eat something roasted or something that's par cooked. If I say tavshil, so that's going to be anything eaten together with bread. Right, konin tavshil sheni ton aser b'maisa gedera rach. Umuter ba'ava, muter be'beitza tartum tarmuta uvedalas haramutza. So what you're allowed to eat is you're allowed to eat that egg, and you're allowed to eat the a particular type of gourd. Good. So the egg we already described. That egg was cooked, cooled, 1,000 times over. It became basically a pill that you swallowed, and it served as a colonoscopy. I know that sounds funny, but if you were around in yesterday's daf. So you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, the Gemara over here is talking about the Dalas HaRamutza. So my Dalas HaRamutza, I'm a Shmuel Kara Karkuzai. Rav Ashi, I'm a Dalas HaTmuna Beremetz. Okay, so two different pshatim offered by the Amoraim in terms of what exactly it is, according to Shmuel. It is a Kara. Kara is a gourd. Karkuzai. Comes from the town or location, a region. Okay, and you can't ask me anymore. Right. If David were here right now with his Gemara, he would tell me exactly geographically where it is. But okay, I can't tell you. Rav Ashi, on the other hand, says Dalasa Tmuna Beremetz. No, it's not a regional gourd. It's talking about how the gourd is prepared. In other words, what you do is that you basically roast it right in the coals. So Eisvei Ravina the Rav Ashi Rav Nechemia Omer Dalasa Ramisi Dalasa Mitzris Kalaim Im Hayavanis Kalaim Im Haramutsa. Meanwhile, over here, the Gemara quotes it seems like it's a Braisa. Either it's a Braisa or it's a Mishnah. Either way, how is it describing the gourd? In other words, let's put it better. How what halachic issues are being taken up over here? Kalayim. Kalayim means I can't cross different types of vegetation because it would be a violation of kalayim. And one of the things mentioned over here is remutza, right? Remutza is obviously a certain subspecies. So what comes out over here is that clearly in this brisa, remutza is not understood in terms of how to prepare it, but rather a subtype, a subspecies of the gourd. Okay, so basically it comes out that I'm backing up. So that Shmuel seems to be more correct. And Ravashi's pshat seems to be not as defensible. We're up to the next mission. We're Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. And we're just continuing along. And all these mishnayos over here are going to speak to one idea, and that is when I make a neder, we're following Lashon B'nei Adam, how it's understood. And so, so when you say Maisa Kedera, what it means is that something that was boiled in a pot. But if you say Yored L'socha Kedera, then it doesn't have to be boiled in water, it just simply has to be in a pot. Otherwise, what you and I call pot roast. So, Yored L'Kedera Shanitom, Aser B'chol Anasa B'Kedera. Now, what's funny about this Mishnah? We heard it already. Meaning, if you go back to the Mishnah, back on Mem Tesamad Aleph, everything we just read in this Mishnah was back on Mem Tesamad Aleph. So basically, what must have happened is that in terms of the typesetting of the Mishnayos, so whoever laid out the typeset put it back on the Mishnah, Mem Tesam, and put it over here as well. Meaning, probably what should have happened is it should have been cut out on Mem Tesam, put in today's daf. Either way, it's good. For us, it just simply means it's Chazara. Now the Gemara comments, Tanya, no demine yor lekadera aser biyori leilfas. So shekvar yor lekadera kom shiyor leilfas. Now the ilfas is a pot. Now, but clearly there's a difference between the kadera and the ilfas. Okay, I do not have the knowledge and the ability to articulate what that difference is. I don't know. It's like a more like a frying pan. Okay. Either way, so what happens is that. So in the Braisa, it describes that when you say Hayor L'Kedera, so if it goes into the Ilfas, it's Aser. Why? Because anything going to the Ilfas previously went into the Kedera. Okay, good. So Mina Hayor L'Ilfas, so Mutter B'Hayor L'Kedera. However, if what I say is I'm not eating fried food anymore, right, as Hanukkah is coming up, by the way, so we're not going to say it now, but after Hanukkah, that's it. No more fried food. But not for now. That's after Hanukkah. Fine. So if I make a neder about ilfas, so then the kedera would be fine. Minhan nase b'kedera muter b'nase b'ilfas. Anything that is prepared in a kedera, so then, or you're allowed to do is you're allowed to join anything that was made in the ilfas. Meaning nase is talking about a particular way in which it's prepared. Mina nasa be'ilfas mutter b'nasa kedera. And if you say ilfas, so then that excludes the kedera, meaning using the word nasa. Because again, we're talking about a manner of preparation. Hano demine yore latanur ein aser elapas. So if I say that I'm not going to get anything benefit, I'm not benefiting from anything that was made in the oven, what you're referring to is bread. In amar kol maisa tanur alai aser b'chol nasa metanur. However, kol maisa tanur, so that would include anything that was prepared in the oven. Okay, good. We're on the Amud Beis. We're on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and finishing up today's daf, we are going to go through just an assortment of other things. Where? What are the definitions of these words? So min hakavush. That's it. In other words, a person is done with anything pickled. So ein aser ela min hakavush al yerek. So what you're referring to is vegetables that are pickled. Kavush sha'ani toim aser b'chol hakavushim. However, instead of saying the word ha-kavush, now, the Ran over here does spend some time going over what is the distinction between the Reish and the Seif of the Mishnah. The Ran does give a couple of pshatim, but I'm going to just stick with the first pshat of the Ran, and that is the difference between the hay versus no hay. Meaning the hay, right, the Rashi and Chumash says this a number of times, the hay is a hay ha-yediyah. It's an article, right? Right. So when you say ha-kavush, you're talking about the things that are generally pickled. Or not generally. Right, yeah. You're talking about things that are, you know, more specific to pickling, which means vegetables, basically, right? In our day and age, cucumbers are the most popular things that are getting pickled. But if I say without the hay, so then what I mean is that basically anything which is pickled. So kavushani tam asa b'chol akavushim. So min hashaluk in asalim min hashaluk shalbaster. Now, if you say hashaluk with the hay, so that typically is referring to meat. So shaluk shani tam asa b'chol ashlukim. However, if I leave out the hay, so then that would be anything which is shaluk. Again, the Ran says over here that although typically shaluk means something that is overcooked, but over here it means that something which is parboiled. Amalei Rav Acha Bray de Rav Avila Rav Ashi Amar de Kavish Mai de Shalik Mai de Tzli Mai de Malach Mai. So Hechemashma So Tibaye. So the way the Ran understands it, again, the Ran offers a couple of pshatim over here, but I'm just saying the first pshat of the Ran, and that is that instead of the hay, you say the dalit. Right? So when it's a hay is an article. It's like saying, you know, the pickled foods. But instead of the hay, I replace it with a dalid. So is the prefix dalid going to operate the same way that the prefix hay, the hay operates? And the Gemara says, good question. We move on. Min hatzli ein aser elam in hatzli shel basar. So once again, as we continue now in the Mishnayos, we're on the second Mishnah here on the Amud. So it's the same basic idea. I say the word sli, but I add the hay in front of it. So it's, you know, the roasted food. So when we're saying, when I say I the roasted, so we're talking about meat. So ain aser elam in hatzli shel basar. So divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So tzli shani tam aser bechol atzluyim. However, if I say tzli without the hay, without the definitive article, so then what it just simply means is that anything which is grilled, right? And sometimes while I'm grilling, so I'm handed some vegetables, you know, and I give it a funny look and I put it on the grill because I'm asked to do it. So min amaliach. What about something which is salted? So ain aser elam min amaliach shel dag. So you know what's typically salted? Fish is typically salted. So so when I say hamaliach, I'm talking about the things that are typically salted. So fish. However, maliach shenitona aser b'chol amaluchim. But however, taking out the hay, taking out the definitive article, so basically it would be more expansive, and that would be anything which is salted. Dag dagim shenitoim aser b'hem ben gedolim ben ketanim. If I say dag dagim, so that would include fish, big and small. Bein maluchin, bein tefelim, whether salted or unsalted. Bein chayim, bein mevushalim. And it doesn't matter whether it was raw or whether it was cooked. Umuta betaris trufa. So, however, what you're allowed to do is if it's chopped up fish, that would be fine. And sear, and if it would be the brine of the fish, that would also be fine as well. Hanoda benat sachana, but however, if your neder includes sachana, now, you and I don't know what the word sachana is. I'll speak for myself. I don't know what sachana is. So, but anyway, but sachana is basically chopped up fish. So, aser b'taras trufa, mutar b'tzir. So now, because you said the word sachana, so chopped up fish is now off the table, meaning that's including your neder, but the brine, however, you know, the juice that comes off the fish, that would be fine. Hanoder mitaras trufa, aser b'tzir, v'murias. So, but if your neder included mattress, trufa, so, that would include even the brine as well. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Dag Shani Tom Aser B'Gedolim, Umut B'Ketanim. Dagashani Tom Aser B'Ketanim, Umut B'Gedolim. Dag Dagashani Tom Aser B'Gedolim, B'Ketanim. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. There's a difference between dag and daga. Dag is a reference to a large fish, and daga is a reference to a small fish. So I'm a papa by me my dag shani tom gadol hu. Yeah, you think the word dag is a reference to a large fish? We're gonna turn to Sefer Yonah, where we have the most famous fish in all of Tanakh, swallowing Yonah. So vaksiv vayispal Yonah l'Hashem elokav mi mehad daga. And meanwhile, I'm in the same sefer of Yonah, and where do I find the word daga with a hay? And that obviously is a large fish. Why? Yonah currently is right now embedded inside of it. So daga is also a big fish, right? So halo kasha dilma palte dagado mbali dagatan. So the Gemara says, okay, if all you're showing me is the psukim, it's not a raya. The dag could be a reference to a tremendous fish. What about the daga? I don't know. Maybe the big fish spat Yonah out, and then was swallowed by a smaller fish. Okay, it's a dichui. The Gemara is just simply pushing off the raya. I mean, if you just think about it for a moment, even the smaller fish, it's still big enough to swallow Yonah. So, I mean, what when we say small, what are we talking about over here? Okay, but anyway, and the Ella Daga Asher Bior Mesa Ketana Mesa Gedolam Lo Mesu. So the so now we turn back to the Makos in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, where it says that when it came to Dam, so all the fish died. Hadaga Asher Bior Mesa. So all the fish died. Now you see the word daga over there with the hay. Now you want to tell me that, I don't know, maybe the small fish died and the large fish all survived the maka of dam. That's ridiculous. So the aktanim mesav gedolim la mesu. So ella daga mashma gedolim mashma ketanim. So the Gemara says, okay. So when you're reading chumash and you see the word daga, so you know what you do. You don't. In other words, it could mean big. It could mean small. And shenadar halacha chalosha b'nei adam. But a lesson that we're hearing again and again here in the sixth parak of Nedarim is that good. So when you're reading Chumash, so the word Daga can mean big. But when you're making a Neder, and in today's day and age, when I say today, I mean I'm going back to the time of the Mishnayos. But in today's day and age, when you say Daga with a hay at the end, so that means small. It means small fish. So we're not making a Neder. We're following Lashon B'nei Adam. Hanodim Menatzachana Amalei Ravin L'Ravashi Amahare Alai Tzichin Mai. What if instead of saying the word tzachan, I say the word tzichin? Now again, so tzichin probably is some Aramaic form of the word tzachana. And so what is meant in the word tzichin? Tibai, the Gemara says, what a wonderful question. And we're going to leave that question unresolved. Okay. Good. It's a great place to stop. Okay, well, let's pause over here. Yesterday we talked about Rabbi Kiva's wealth. We started off today's daf talking about the wealth of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Incredibly wealthy person and very serious individual, and did not want to laugh and did not want to come off as being silly, and so he did not invite Bar Kapara to his son's chasna, as Bar Kapara was a badchan. He was a bit of a joker, so made people laugh, and so he didn't want Bar Kapara there. Bar Kapara wrangled an invitation, and so the beginning of today's daf we went through the back and forth between Bar Kapara and Rebbe at the chasna. Okay. All this was not to the approval of Rebbe's son-in-law, Ben Alassa. He walked out. Ben Alassa also happened to have been a wealthy individual. Okay, and today's daf started off with definitely an unusual piece of agadata. Okay, over the course of today's daf, in the first half of today's daf, so we went over Perush HaMilim in the Torah, etymology of the words, Toeva, Tevel, Zima. Second half of today's daf, which really started in the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, and that is definitions of words. What's Maisa Kedera? What's Ilfus? The make a neder from one, does it include or exclude the other? Okay. Hanasa Bekedera, Hanasa Ilfus. And then the Mishnayos on the Amud Beis notes that there's a difference when I say Kavush versus HaKavush. And where that hey over there is a definitive article. It's talking about the principal way in things are pickled or salted or roasted. So if I add the word hay over there, it's limiting the neder that I'm making. I leave out the hay, so it's more expansive. Good. That was a big point on the Amud Beis. And then, just other terms, and what does it include? The difference between dag versus daga. Dag is a big fish, daga is a small fish. I in Chumash and in Tanakh, it doesn't seem that way. The Gemara says, you're right, it doesn't seem that way. We're not talking about Chumash, we're not talking about Tanakh. We're talking about Nedarim. When it comes to Nedarim, halach achar lashem b'nei Adam.